Now, this is an interview with Mr. Patrick Smith, who is a veteran of the Bandera Irlandesa del Tercio of O'Duffy's Brigade in Spain in 1936 to 37. And he is now, how old?
I'm 80 years next month, and on the 16th of September this year, I will be 80 years.
Who is now nearly 80. Now, Mr. Smith, how did you first hear of the project, of O'Duffy's project, to raise volunteers for Spain?
On the daily paper, The Independent, to be exact, on a Monday morning, when I read of comments or a homily given by the then Bishop, Catholic Bishop of Ossory, Dr. Collier. And in the course of his homily, he said that any single unattached young man who, if he went to Spain, first he explained that General O'Duffy was organizing a brigade to go to fight in Spain. And he said, to go to fight for Catholicism against atheistic communism. Now, I was a Roman Catholic. I shouldn't use Roman, I should say Catholic, because a Roman is usually used by non-Catholic people. Now, he said, any single unattached young man who would go out there with the right intentions, and he emphasized to fight for Catholicism against atheist and communism, should he fall, he said, in my honest opinion, he is a Christian martyr, and therefore has earned his place in heaven. Now, I was a comparatively young man.
How old were you?
Approximately 22.
Right.
And held a responsible job. I was chief buttermaker in the Moor Valley Creamery, Thomastown. And
that's County Cavan.
County Kilkenny.
Kilkenny. Ah.
I come from Cavan.
I am from.
Ah.
Yeah. That's another story.
Okay.
So anyway, I made more than butter in that. I made love. And that is the gem that came out of it. So anyhow, I had an assistant, Jim Morrissey, a native of that part of the country. And the following morning, anyway, I was reading the paper and read about all about this. And this got to me. I was gripped. And every time we met around the dairy and all around Jim and I, we couldn't talk about anything else. So he said, would you go? I'd go if I could, had a pal I could trust. I said, but I'm in a strange country. And he said, well, I'm the same. And I said, I trust you. If you're coming, he said, I will trust you. And the pact was made that the two of us would go to Spain. As simple as that. Now, the next procedure was for to get, I didn't have a passport ever at the time because I didn't have a form. I was a farmer's son at home, went to the usual procedures of education, and then I got a scholarship into an agricultural college, and there I studied agriculture, modern agriculture, and got a diploma in that. After that I said, what way am I turning now? So I decided to go for dairy products. And I was lucky enough that there was a very large and a very high-class creamery, which made butter and packaged cream and what have you, in the same, across the river from the college. And that was only 5 miles from my home in Cavan. That was known as the Annie Gellif Cooperative Creamery. Now, as I say, times were hard. I was a small farmer's son, or comparatively small.
How many in your family?
There was eight. Eight alive and four dead. But my mother was already long dead at this time.
Uh-huh.
She died at 42 years of age.
And your father?
My father was still alive, but he died at 64. I was just back from Spain a few months when he died.
I see.
Thanks be to God for that, because we were real pals. Real of the whole family, he and I were.
So what made you interested, when you heard of the bishop's speech, you were immediately caught by this the interest in
the interest in this, and the fact that it came back to my mind that one of my forebears, he'd be a grand uncle or something, I forget now, I've forgotten that, I never traced up the year.
Yeah.
I did and I forgot.
I think it was 1861. Go on.
He was I know what you're coming at.
Yeah.
He fought against Garibaldi.
Yeah.
In the Pope's War.
1861.
And I was going to say that it was in the 1860s. You're right.
Yeah.
Now, that hit me. And he was killed there. He never came back.
Good God.
Now, he was an ordinary country chap. I could never find out how did he get to Italy. What, anything. What prompted him. But, of course, I knew there was another. That ours was only the 2nd Irish Brigade that ever went out to fight for Catholicism. So, anyway, proceed to get passports. And I was in touch with particularly Captain Paddy Quinn of Gorn House, Gorn. He was a captain, an ex-captain in the Irish Free State Army.
Now, he'd be from your wife's part of the world, right?
Yes.
Paddy Quinn.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, about 10 or 11 miles away.
Yeah.
Fine gentleman. That's that. Anyway, I heard that he was organising, and we went to see him one night, delighted to see us. Told us we had to get passports, etc., etc. So I proceeded, get my photograph taken, and went to the barracks and made an application for a passport. But in the meantime, I had got a little vibe to not say I was going to Spain. There was one bunch had got out, and I got the vibe to not say we're going to Spain, so I told a lie. Simple little lie. I said I was going to Denmark to study in a dairy science college. And I could, which was all my business where I went. So we were supposed to have freedom in this country. That was 1936.
Mm.
And we were supposed to have a free country. Our fathers had fought, and a lot of them died for freedom.
Sure.
So anyway, went in a few days' time to the barracks. No, and I complained I hadn't got the passport. So they couldn't understand it. Anyway, they said it's bound to be in the office, in the passport office. Right, I said. Would you mind notifying them that I will call for it, to hold it? I will call for it. So Jimmy Morrissey and I proceeded to leave our jobs, and we went to Dublin, called at the passport office. They never heard of us. I went to a solicitor, and he got in touch with the local sergeant, whom I knew, and the local superintendent. Can't remember the sergeant's name, although he explained all to me. A couple of years afterwards, how they had got instruction, and this I state categorically, not written instructions, but they were told that anyone who was likely to travel to Spain, any young man, try and baffle them in every way they could. That's why we had 600 men out there. That's why 500 of them had to go in the dark of the night from Galway Port. That's why there was another 500 or 600 waiting at Passage East, and they couldn't get the boat, couldn't come in. There was probably some guard on or something like that. Now, the vibe that I had got was correct. So I got my solicitor and he gave them 24 hours to have my form in with them, or I would take action that otherwise my future was at stake. The form was in the passport office, right and quick. No delay about that. And here is the passport. Here is the passport, which is one of my most treasured possessions. And you can see for yourself here.
It's an Irish passport.
Irish passport.
Green with the harp on the cover.
A Seerstadt Éireann.
And the Irish Free State.
Irish Free State. Well, Seerstadt Éireann.
Seerstadt.
It was in 1937 that they changed us, they called us. wasn't the party. So she said anything. Anyway, here am I. They gave my home address.
Mrs. Smith is described as a student and...
Student buttermaker.
Student and buttermaker.
County Cavan.
County Cavan.
Born
on the 16th of September 1914. 14. Height 5'8", blue eyes, dark brown hair, round face.
Fish. Yeah.
And you certainly have got a round face there. Yes. Yes, indeed.
So that's me.
Yeah.
No, I have one other point in this.
Quite a matinee idol, he looks like there.
Pardon?
Bit of a matinee idol, as they called them in the 1930s.
Yeah, I suppose it was. I had a lovely head of hair, I'll admit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Much more than now. But here you are now. Here is the prime piece. And I read it out to you. I read this out to you now. And this is history. And this is absolute fact. This is the one thing that I held against that government. This passport is good for the following countries: British Commonwealth of Nations, United States of America, all European countries, and endorsed in red ink, it was red at the time, it's gone a bit purpley, except Spain.
Except Spain is handwritten alongside
handwritten.
This stamp.
Yeah. Now, Turkey, Syria, the Union of Soviet Republics,
yeah.
Socialist Republics.
Yeah. He can go to Russia.
Yeah. The people are going to fight.
Yeah.
Principally. Algiers, Tangiers, Tunisia, Morocco, Egypt, Palestine. Category A. Category A states categorically every country in the world. But they had an endorsed here except Spain.
Yeah.
Now, that was on the 23rd of November, 1940.
No, that was valid until.
And?
I think that's probably the validity until the passport expires on that day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Used to November that's 1936.
Right. November 1936, it's stamped.
Now, we have no visas unless in Lisbon.
Yes, it's visa Lisbon.
Lisbon?
I can't read the date. Is it the... Your eyes are perhaps better than mine, Mr. Smith.
The second...
2nd of December. The 2nd of December, 1936.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this visa in Lisbon again.
Yes, by the Spanish consul, I think.
Consul, coming back out.
Yeah.
Those were to prove. I had, just for, if you like to call it, well, I had to do it. I was coming back by boat. I came by boat. Now, I didn't, if you like to call it, I didn't go to Spain legally.
No.
And the Spanish, the Portuguese were friendly towards them. And they had no objection for me getting off the boat in Lisbon and walking around Lisbon and viewing the city. And I had an appointment. I had a place where I was told to call. And we gathered up there. There was 62 of us, I think.
Now, this brings me on to asking. I'm going to ask you in a minute, Mr. Smith, about how you got there.
Yes.
Perhaps we could come on to that in a moment.
Yes, that'll be fine.
Digest. Yes. I mean, actually, you've already answered several of my questions. You were a strong Catholic, I take it, in those days.
Yes.
But you were not unemployed.
No.
Had you heard about the atrocities against nuns and priests in Spain?
I had.
You had. And did this worry you?
It did.
Who did you think were committing the atrocities?
I thought that it was the so-called Republican government in Spain.
Yes.
Which had proved, according to my book, according to my reading of the papers, what scanty knowledge they put in it, that they were a dead loss, they were a failure.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
They were not doing what they were supposed to do, because General Franco was one of the leaders in the deposition of King Alfonso.
Yeah.
And his brother, who was in charge of the Air Force.
Ramon.
Yeah, Ramon. Now, I knew quite a lot, not as much as I knew. I learned a lot more when I went there.
Of course.
I will mention, I learned when I went there, outside the city of Badajoz. I think it was 12. 12 plain spots and the silhouette around them, burned at the stake. Nuns who were burned at the stake, at the city walls.
And these were priests?
They were nuns.
Sorry.
Yeah. That was the first taste of atrocities.
And you saw these? You saw the place where it happened?
I saw the, yes, the black...
The monuments.
The black silhouette.
The singes in the wall.
On the wall.
I understand.
And smoke.
I understand.
And where their bodies had protected the wall. 12 or 14. Now, I also saw in the beds where they were killed, in the toilets, and in the beds sodden with blood and all the rest of it.
This was in a convent?
No, in a convent, yes, sorry. In a convent, and in one place, in a barracks.
In the barracks, yes. Yeah. This is where the soldiers have been killed.
Soldiers have been killed.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you, now, just going back for a moment to before you left, did you speak yourself to any priest or bishop about it? Or did your, for example, did your parish priest speak to you about it before
no.
you went?
No.
You didn't consult any priests
no.
personally?
No.
No. So you didn't hear anyone in the pulpit, for example, saying anything about it?
Oh, I no. All I heard was, I heard Dr. Collier, Bishop of Ossory.
Yes, but you didn't hear any priests
no,
locally in the
no,
in a pulpit
no,
saying
no.
anything?
Because I didn't discuss it with anyone.
But was it ever mentioned? Was the Spanish Civil War, the situation in Spain,
well, it could have, you
mentioned?
See, at the time that I left Thomastown, you see, the thing had only just
of course.
Come to light.
Yeah.
And with the result, you see, I was gone. Because
yeah.
I had to spend a week in Dublin or more waiting for to get this passport.
But I mean, you were in church at least every Sunday, maybe
oh,
more.
Oh, yes, yes.
And did you hear priests mentioning General Franco and the Civil War in their sermons then?
Only Bishop Collier was the first.
Right.
Are you saying that after you left it could have happened when you
were yes.
aware? Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, now, did you come... Your political background... I take it that you were a Cosgrave supporter or your family?
Yes.
Your family
yes.
were Cosgrave supporters?
Yes,
and were any of them Blue Shirt or National Corporate Movement?
Well, I was.
You were a Blue Shirt?
Yeah.
And you had the uniform and so on, you marched,
yes.
yeah, and you attended meetings?
Yes.
And presumably, therefore, you were an admirer of Duffy, of O'Duffy and himself?
Did yes, you? I was.
Yes.
For the reason, may I explain?
Of course, do explain.
That he, against all opposition, was, I suppose, nearly the only man in the world who had the guts to form an unarmed police force in a country that had been ravaged first by the Black and Tan War, by 300 years of British rule first.
That's a good point. I'd never heard that point made before.
Yeah. Now, he was the only man... Oh, yes, he was picked to form a police force.
It's the Garda Síochána.
So he formed the Garda Síochána, and he was literally torn to pieces. A war-torn country, arms all over the place, pelless man thirsting for blood, and O'Duffy had the guts for to train a police force to maintain law and order without the use of the gun. That now was the one point I said, here's a Christian gentleman.
I've never heard that point made before, sir.
Yeah.
It's a very good one. Can I ask you then, what was your family's attitude to your going to Spain?
No. My family, we were scattered at this time.
Mm.
A lot of my sisters in America. One brother at home, my father at home, a widower, and I didn't consult them. Much as I thought of my father, it was this vibe that I got that I was going to be stopped and every other man that the government could stop. I even believed that they'd trump up charges, and they couldn't trump up charges against me because I never broke the law only once. I rode an unlighted bicycle when I was 16 years of age and was fined 1 shilling.
Oh, devil.
But did you must have felt then, if I can put it this way, would it be too strong to say you felt called, you felt a vocation to go?
I felt called. I had to. I decided it was in the genes that I must go.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know anything about Spain at all at that point?
Well, all I knew was that the years that had gone on in which a lot of people were deprived, very deprived people.
Yeah.
And you had the rich and the poor.
Yeah.
The known as. And I will admit, I knew that the church was a bit on the rich side.
Yeah. Or could be identified sometimes
could
with the
rich. Could be identified sometimes as
yes.
property owners and mine owners. And
yeah.
All the rest. I could be wrong in the mind, but I don't think I am.
No.
You'll probably find that out in your searching. But that didn't matter. There was an encircling movement. I was always a keen student of geography and of world affairs. And it was quite evident to anyone with a bit of brains in their head. Russia wanted world domination. And she had started an encircling movement coming along to southern Europe and right round, nearly got Italy, practically got Italy. If she got Spain, she was very friendly, very strong in France, not in Portugal, but they wouldn't last very long. Small country on the edge of the sea, pushed them out. And then we had Europe. If she got encircled in the Iberian Peninsula, we'd have her in England, and we'd have her in Ireland. And I was not going to... Now, communism in my book was a wonderful thing. If you had men of honour and men of brains to run it properly, the equality of man was a strong point in my belief. And sure, everyone thought, I thought, I hadn't learned to search human nature as much as I did in latter years.
Well, you were 22 years old.
Yeah. And a country boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now...
Did you have, at this point, when you joined, you were 22, so presumably you had no military experience, you hadn't had any experience of the Civil War or anything of that kind.
No.
So you and James Morrissey...
Yes.
Who did you... You contacted Quinn, and that was... Quinn,
yes.
As it were, you worked through him then?
Worked through him,
okay.
Yes.
Did anyone try to discourage you from going, apart from the government?
They couldn't. The only person who knew I was going was a taxi driver who brought me to Gordon Station. I didn't go from our local station and caught a very early train for Dublin.
Oh, smart, yeah.
And this little girl here, who was a very little girl at the time. What did you mean? 18.
I went up to Dublin to see him off.
Yeah. They're the only people I consulted with.
Did you know anyone who wanted to go but was prevented from going? Literally prevented?
Let me think now.
Or did you know of anyone who was prevented?
Oh, I did. I knew of a few, but to say that they had gone through the mill as I had done, I can't say
no.
So.
No,
you see, it'd be untruthful for me.
But you
that.
Think that these measures the government took did deter some people from going?
Oh, deterred, because I tell you, the majority of people who were going to go were ordinary farmer's sons, labourer's sons. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
If you like to call them, not the terrible high standard of education, but good, honest-to-God fellas who wanted to go. And some of them were going for an adventure, because I knew a fellow there who was a Protestant from Belfast.
Yeah. But he could have been a Christian who wanted to defend Christianity.
That's the point. This is the point.
Yeah.
Rocky Tucker. Tucker is his name, and I don't know how he got the name Rocky, but Rocky Tucker.
That's a new name to me. Thank you
now,
very much.
There was a man from Sligo who became mayor of Sligo afterward. We'll probably get him in list save here now, or you'll be able to, someone will tell you the name. He became mayor of Sligo. He was a Church of Ireland. He was a Protestant. And he meant it for.
Right. But you yourself didn't go because you wanted adventure. You went because you had a vocation to defend Catholicism against atheistic communism. That's what your feeling was. Right.
Exactly.
Did you know of anyone who went, who did go, who was underage, under 18? You yourself were
21 was the limit of...
Was it?
...at the time.
Right.
Not 18, 21.
Right.
That's why we had to come home.
But many people did say, people who saw the brigade in Spain, they weren't necessarily well-disposed towards the brigade, you understand?
Yeah.
But several people, 3 or 4 accounts that I've read, alleged that there were many, many, some said as many as 100 who went, were boys of 16 and 17. Have you any knowledge of this?
No. I never met anyone.
Thanks very much. Did you know of any Irishmen who were living in England at the time who went with O'Duffy?
Yes. No. I didn't know them living in England. But I know that we were brought back a couple of Englishmen with us. I can't give you their names.
Right.
I haven't got them.
Right.
But we smuggled.
They were Englishmen, not Irishmen.
Not Irishmen.
Yeah.
Because we smuggled them back.
Right. But you don't know of any exiles in England
who
volunteered from England?
No.
Right. Did you did you know of any? Well, you did the Englishmen you smuggled back, had they fought with you, or they just happened to be there wanting to get out?
Wanting to get out. They were in the Irish, they were in the International Brigade, as a matter of fact.
Really?
And we had 160 approximately Irishmen in the International Brigade.
That's right. And you're dead right there.
Yeah.
On the nail.
And
one of them, by the way, was called Paddy Smith.
Yeah, he was. Huh? And another of them was Red Reardon.
That's right, Red Reardon.
Did you see...
It's also called the Irish Communist Party.
Yeah. Did you see the list of names of killed in action on the Labour, down at Putbridge in Dublin?
No, I haven't.
Well, go there and you'll see chiseled out in the stonework. Have done by Red Reardon, commemoration of the Irishmen who fought and died for communism.
I'm going to come back to that very point in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll come back to that very point in a minute. Now, so where did you left from Dublin?
I left from Dublin.
On the normal Liverpool ferry?
Correct.
And you, where did you go? And you went to Lisbon?
I went to Lisbon.
And how many of you went on that ferry?
62 or 3. I have the list of names here who went on that ferry. Now, did you ever see that book?
No. Oh, I've got a... I haven't actually held it, but I've got a photocopy of it.
Have you got it?
Yes.
Well, you can have that. You can have that.
What? You can't give this to me, surely. You've got another copy. Great. Wonderful. Thank you.
I knew him well. Now, unfortunately, well, it was his way of doing it. He has written it in prose.
Sure.
You know
and he's written another one in poetry.
Or in poetry, I mean. That one, there.
This is the one in poetry.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, so it is.
Yeah, now,
so it is.
Let me explain something here.
Do.
You will find here a short list of names in the beginning. The Irish Brigade, Crusade Against Communism, En route for Spain, General Lorna Duffy, Officer Commanding, and then a few names here.
Yeah.
Major Dalton, who I knew well. Captain Tam Hyde, Middleton and Cork.
Yeah, I spoke to his brother yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
Well, he was killed 20 yards away from your list, and then shoot of Tralee. Two of the finest men I could wish to meet, and they were blown up. Less than 20 yards away from me.
Well, we were in Tony Hyde's house yesterday.
Well, I have to go there. I have been in Middleton several times.
He'd be delighted to see you.
We have great friends in Middleton.
Well, he's there on the High Street.
Yeah. Well, no.
But don't make sure you're on 2 feet when you go there because he's a funeral director.
Oh.
So don't go there in this position.
Yes, no. 32 went in that group. Now, they went a week before us because apparently they had got their photographs or they had got their passports quicker than we did.
Be careful with that.
Yeah. Now, is that your group or is it another group?
I'm not there.
Jim Morrissey in it. Have you got the gents?
And
this is your man himself here. This is Paddy Dalton there.
Yes.
This is Paddy Quinn here.
That's Paddy Quinn, that's his eyes that I know. Well, he went on that group that's mentioned there.
Right.
In that group, so that wasn't my group.
Right. Now, so your group went on a different ferry?
Different ferry, no, that was, you'll find the name of the...
So you went with Sean O'Cunningham?
Yeah. Did I? Wait a minute now. No, O'Cunningham went with this.
Ah, right, so you went on a different ferry.
One. I went on the, no, it's the name of it.
This is the Avocetta.
Avocetta?
Yeah.
My boat was the... SS
Aguila.
Aguila.
Yeah.
Now that's that's the list now.
Yeah, it's a cruise ship. It was a cruise ship that.
Yeah, it was.
You left Liverpool on the cruise ship.
On the cruise ship to the Canary Islands.
To the Canary Islands. This is the chap Morgan was on board. Did you ever meet a Welshman called Morgan on board that ship? No.
That's a long time ago. See. Now, do you want to go back to the question of age?
I do.
Right. The reason why we left Spain, because more than 50% of the brigade were under 21. And 21 was the legal limit here for, let's call it manhood.
Voting and so on.
Voting and all the rest of it. General O'Duffy wouldn't have his... No, our good government of the day, headed by Eamon de Valera, rushed the citizenship bill through.
Ah.
And check all these facts now. They rushed the citizenship bill through. And if the fellas under 21 were not back in Ireland by such a date, they were displaced persons. They had no country.
And... also, presumably, some of them lost their jobs.
Yeah. So, O'Duffy made sure they were back because he discussed it with General Franco, got permission to withdraw from the war, and he had to pay for the boat that brought us home and left him penniless. He had his house out in Black Rock, all right, but the man was penniless. And he was a bachelor. Didn't take a lot. I went to see him once. And didn't go to see him until I had a job of my own, because in case he'd think, he did ask me, can I?